fine. So we begin last three lines. Hey, Omud Beis. Says the Gemara. Tana Abba, right where we left off yesterday. Tana Abba bin Yomin Omer. Abba bin Yomin says, Shnaim shenichnasu l'hispalel. Two people went into daven together. V'kivim echa mehem l'hispalel lohim tenes chaveiro. And one of them finished davening earlier and did not wait for his friend. I will say, of course, the context over here is that the shuls are in the middle of nowhere. Right? Shuls ultimately, this we'll see this more in the fourth parak as well. But the shul's in the middle of nowhere. So this idea that if somebody was left alone in shul, there was a shtickel sakana attached to that if you had to go ahead and walk home alone. So two people begin to go ahead and come into shul, begin to daven. One guy finishes early, does not go and wait for his friend. The yatsa tarfin lo tefila sabifanov. His tefila is tore up right in front of his face. Last three lines, hey Amud Beis.
We left off on the time, you're right, where it became large.
Last middle.
Did we stop up there? Okay, fine. So let's go back up there. Tanya, Abin Yamin Omer, thank you. Ashnei dvarim ha'isim itzdar kol yomai. So Abin Yamin says, throughout my life, I was careful with two things. Number one, al tefilasi shetehe lifnei mitasi, that my tefillah should always be before my bed, va'al mitasi shetehe nesuna ben safon l'darom, and that my bed should always be placed in the direction between north and south. Al tefilasi shetehe lifnei mitasi, that my tefillah should be before my bed. What does that mean? My lifnei tefilas, my lifnei mitasi. Ilei ma lifnei mitasi mamish, if it literally means that my tefillah should be before my bed, then v'ha amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, v'itim Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, minayin l'espalel, shelo yehe davar chotzeitz beino leben akir. But we learned elsewhere, how do we know that when one davens, one should really daven opposite? One should really daven opposite the wall, with nothing interrupting between themselves and the wall. Shne'emar vayosef Chizkiyo panav el akir vayispalel. So the Navi tells us that when Chizkiyo HaMelech was actually deathly ill, was on his deathbed, so he turned his face to the wall and he davened. That's the source of this idea of davening opposite the wall. What's the source of davening opposite the wall? Is when you daven opposite a wall, there's nothing to distract you. That's the yisod in it. So the Gemara says, Lo teima lifnei mitasi, ele ema samoch limitasi. Rather, it doesn't mean that literally I davened before my bed. Rather, what does it mean? It means that I would daven close to the time of going to bed. Rashi points out, samoch limitasi, kol yamai nizharti d'shalala asos melocha, v'shalala asok b'torah, kishamarati mimitasi ad she'ekra kriya shema ve'espalel. That what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, what Abba ben Yamin was saying, excuse me, was that I was careful that when I got up, the first thing I did was daven. I didn't learn, I didn't do mitzvahs, I didn't do work, I didn't do anything else. I immediately davened. Va'al mitasi shetehe nisuna beit safalon daram. And what does it mean that I was careful that my bed should always be placed between the north and the south? Da'am Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Kalanosi mitaso beit safalon daram. Havyon le banim zucharim. Whoever places their bed in the north-south direction, it's a skula for having male children. Shine emar. Shnei Amar quotes the pasuk over here from Tehillim, Utzfuncha temale bitnam yisbu'u banim. So it's a little bit of a play on words. Utzfuncha temale bitnam. So Utzfuncha literally means your hiddenness. They're picking a play on words over here. Tzafon from Lashon of Tzafon, from the north. Utzfuncha temale bitnam yisbu'u banim. Nachabar Yitzchak Amar ein ishto ma'peles nefalim. That if one goes ahead and places their bed in the north-south direction, one's wife will not chas v'shalom miscarry. K'sif hacha utzefuncha temali bitna, u'k'sif hasam v'yemalu yomeha laledes, v'hinei somim bevitna. So just like it says, tzefuncha temale bitna, so too in the pasuk with Tamar, it says v'yemalu yomeha laledes, which means that she carried her pregnancy till full term, there was no miscarriage. Okay. Tana.
That was Yaakov Esav.
Right, Rivka Imenu, thank you.
That's not
Tana. Abba ben Yamin Omer, Shnaim shenichnesu lehispalel, v'kidim echad mehem lehispalel v'lo himtin eschadero. So now we'll say, okay, back to our regularly scheduled program. So now two people go in to daven, and what happens? One finishes in advance of his friend, and what happened? V'lo himtin eschadero. And the other who finished earlier did not wait for his friend to finish. He left him there. So what happens? Tarfin lo tefilas abefanov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tears up his tefillah in front of his face. Meaning such a tefillah is considered to be meaningless. Shene emar, toreif nafsho biapo, halamancho te'azev aretz. So the pasuk literally means, toreif nafsho biapo, one tears up their nefesh, one tears up their soul in their anger, because of you will he leave the land. So the way the Gemara is darshaning it is that nafsho is tefillah, so that nafsho, his soul, means his tefillah. So toreif nafsho biapo, God tears up his prayer. He is the guy who left early, who left his friend in the shul. Halaman chate zev aretz, because you think that you leave, that God is leaving also. Velo ot, not only that, ela shigor mishchina shetisalik miYisrael. He causes the shchina to leave the Jewish people. Shnei emar, because the pasuk says, vayetak tzur mimkomo. He causes the tzur, the rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to leave his place. Ve'in tzur ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnei emar, tzur yiladcha teshi. Because the pasuk says in Devarim that you have forgotten the rock that gave birth to you. So what's the yisod over here? The fear over here is that if, let's say, I'm in shul with Reuven, and now I finished davening earlier, and I leave, so Reuven's going to be left alone. If Reuven's going to be left alone and he knows that he's alone, what's going to happen? His tefillah is going to be compromised. Because the truth is, now that he knows that he's going to have to walk back all by himself, that's going to ruin his kavanah. So because I put my needs before someone else and I ruined his kavanah because I was in a rush to get home, so because I ruined his tefillah, unfortunately the onesh is that my tefillah is considered to be like nothing as well. And if you waited, what is your schar? Bos atap of Vav Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Zocha Librachos Halalu. Right, you are given the following blessings. Shnei Emar, because the pasuk says, and here he's quoting the pasuk from Yeshaya, Lu ikshavta lemitzvosai, if only you would listen to my mitzvos, v'hi kinar shlomecha, you will have a river of peace, v'tzidkoscha kigale hayam, and you will have righteousness like the waves of the ocean, v'yikachol zaracha, your offspring will be like the sand of the earth, v'tzeetzoei me'echa, and ultimately great offspring. Okay. Tanya, Abba bin Yomin Omer. So we're going to go back now to shade him a little bit. Abba bin Yomin Omer. Abba bin Yomin says, Il mole nitna rishus la'ayin liros, in kol ber yichol lelamom b'nei amazikin. If the eye would actually see everything that really goes on in this world all around it, no one would be able to stand the sight. Withstand the sight. Amra Abaye, in hu nefishi minon, v'kaimi alon ki kisla lo'ogya. There are so many shadim that are around us, and more shadim than we can even imagine, like a kisla to the ugya. What is kisla to ugya? So Rashi points out over here, ki kisla to ugya, kishuras chafiras hamakefes ha-ugya, sha'osin tachas ha-gifanim. So it's actually interesting. Here's a machlokas Rashi tells us about how to understand this particular, good morning, how to understand this particular statement. But let's go with Rashi, just to keep it simple. Kisla to ugya means when they were planting vines, they would plant a vine in a mound of earth. What they would do afterwards is they would have like a ditch around it, an irrigation ditch around it. So kisla la'ugya means the same way that the ditch surrounds the mound, so too says the Gemara, there are so many shadim that surround us as well. We'll say, Vav Amud Aleph, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down from the top. Amar Rav Huna, kochad v'chad minon alfa mismolei u'ridevasa miminei. Each of us has 1,000 shadim on our left and 10,000 shadim on our right. Amar Rava, and Rava says, let me tell you how you know this, or how, let me explain to you how we in some way experience shadim as well. Amar Rava, hay duchka dahavi bekala minayhu. So Rashi points out over here, hay duchka dahavi bekala pamim shebene adam yoshim ervachim b'yam ha-shabes shevayim l'shmo ha-drasha v'domam k'yoshim d'chukim. So also you have to understand, in the Talmudic model, what were people doing with their Shabbos? People were learning, right? That's what happened on Shabbos. Most people were laborers. They didn't necessarily have time to learn, not a lot of time to learn during the week. So Shabbos was the time, so they had what's called the Kala. The Kala. Kala means the gathering. So the Rav Huna says over here, Rava says, that when you go to the Kala, you go to the Shir, even though there's plenty of room, everyone feels squeezed. So why is that? Because because the Shadim are surrounding us on all sides. Hani berchi d'shali minayu. The fact that people sometimes, Rashi says, birkayim ayefim, get achy knees, even if what? There's not so much physical exertion. It's from the shadim constantly rubbing against us. Hai mani drabaran de balu michuf yadido. And the fact that the clothes of Talmidei Chachamim get worn out so quickly, even though what? They're not manual laborers who normally go through their clothes quickly. Why is that? Because the shadim constantly rubbing against them. Hanikari demenak von minayhu, the fact that sometimes people's feet kick each other, I don't know, under the table or wherever else, because the shadim are all around. Hai man deboy lemeidalahu, so if you want to go ahead and see the shadim, meaning if you want to actually see it, Laisi kitma nehila, take ash, v'nedar apuria, and sprinkle it around your bed. Ubit safra, and in the morning, chazi kikara de tarnagola. You will see footprints like chicken feet. So say again, I don't know, I'm in the middle of my dissertation on shadim, so when I finish it, I'll let you know. But apparently they have chicken feet. Why chicken feet? The truth is, we see that also in the story of Ashmedai. I say, before you crack any jokes, be careful what you make jokes about. You know, there are certain things that we probably don't want to mess with. But in any event, I don't know why the chicken feet, but that's the symbolism, or that's what they have. Hai man de boy le mechzinu, if you want to actually see shadim, so that's only there to go ahead and show the presence of the shadim. What if you really want to see the shadim? Laisi shalyosa de shunrasa uchmasa. Take the placenta of a black cat. Bas uchmasa, but it has to be the black cat, the daughter of a black cat. Buchrasa, bas buchrasa, and it has to be a firstborn cat, the daughter of a firstborn cat. Velikle benura, burn it, right? So take the placenta, burn it. Velishachke, turn it into a powder. Velimle eni minei, and apply a little bit in your eye. V'chazile, and v'chazilehu, and you're going to be able to see the shadim. V'leshadje begufsa de parzala, whatever you have left over, place in an iron tube. V'lechasme bekushbanka de parzala, and seal the tube with an iron. Seal the tube with an iron seal. Dilma ganve mine, in order that the shadim do not take the rest of this concoction. V'lechton pume, keep your mouth closed. Kihechi delo lisik, in order that you will not be harmed by the shadim. Rabbi Barabai Avitach, Rabbi Barabai actually did this. V'chaza, he saw the shadim, v'iszak, and he was harmed by this encounter. Bo'u Rabbanon Rachami Alei, the rabbis davened for him, v'issi, and he was healed. Tanya, Abba Bin Yomin Omer, Ein Tfila Shel Adam Nishmas Ela B'Beis HaKnesses. Abba Bin Yomin said, the tefillah of a person is only heard in shul. Shene Amar, Lishmo, it's a good plug for membership, right? Lishmo, Shene Amar, Lishmo El Arima Ve El Atfila. Because the Pasuk says so beautifully, right, in Melochim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishmo El Arima Ve El Atfila, to hear Rina means the praise, Tfila means prayer, more specifically supplication. B'makom Rina, in the place where we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sham Tehi Tfila. That's where tefillah should take place as well. And Rashi points out, "B'makom Rina, b'beis hakneses, shesham omrim atzibor shiros v'sishbachos b'ne'imos kol ored." That the Rina is the place that it takes place in the shul, because it's in the shul that often we sing many things. So in the place where communal singing often occurs, that's really the only place for tefillah as well. Amar Rabin Barav Ada Amar Rabbi Yitzchok. How do we know that God is to be found in the shul? Shene'emar Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel. Because the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found Ba'adas Kel. And Rashi says Ba'adas Kel. Adas Kel literally means in the assembly of God. But Rashi says Ba'adas Kel means Bebayis Muad Shelo, in the home that is designated for him. Uminayin La'asara. It's actually a very beautiful Gemara. Uminayin La'asara Shemispalalin Shechina Imayin. And how do we know, and from where do we know that if you have 10 people together, that daven, that the Shekhinah is with them, Shene'emar Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel. Because the Pasuk says, God is found in the, or God can be found in the assembly of God. Now, Rashi points out, Abosai, we will see this later on, that there's a Gzeirah Shava of Eda, that actually comes from the Meraglim, right? So the idea is the Meraglim were 12, minus Yehoshua and Kalev. Right, that leaves us with 10. So we have an Eda Gzeir Shava that teaches us that the concept of a minion is 10. The Gemara is not saying, I'm telling, Rashi points it out, I'm telling it to you now, we'll see it later on in the Gemara. Uminayin l'shlosha, sheyoshvin bedin, sheshchina iman. And how do we know that if three people sit in judgment, that the Shechina is with them? Shene'emar, bekerev Elokim yishbot. because the pasuk says, "In the midst of God will judgment be delivered." And Rashi points out over here, "Bikerev Elokim yishpot ve'ein beis din kruim Elokim ela begimel." Now remember, the Torah, when referring to judges, often also calls them Elohim. So the Gemara is darshaning over here, "Bikerev Elohim," right? Yishpot. Right, so b'kerav elokim yishpot, that ultimately when there is a kerav elokim, when there is an assembly of judges, which is a minimum of three, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is there as well. Uminayim l'shnayim sheyoshin va'oskin b'torah sheshchin eman. And how do we know that if two people are sitting and learning Torah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is with them? Shene emar as nidberu yirei Hashem ish al re'ehu v'yakshev. Here, this pasuk here, the Gemara is quoting from Malachi. As nidberu yirei Hashem ish esrayehu vayakshev Hashem. So as nidberu yirei Hashem ish el reyehu. Even when one is learning with the other, vayakshev Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. My ulechoshvei shemo. So interestingly enough, the end of that pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also v'yish v'yikasev sefer zikron lefanav v'yirei Hashem ulechoshvei shemo. So the Torah gives us this other category of people that Choshvei Shmo literally means that think about the name of God. So the Gemara says, what does it mean to think about the name of God? It's actually very beautiful. Amar Rav Ashi, Chashav Adam La'asos Mitzvah V'ne'enas V'lo Asah. If a person wanted to do a mitzvah, but for some reason, because of circumstances beyond their control, was prevented from doing so, Ma'ala Alav HaKosov Ki'ilu Asah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it as if the person did it. Right? Machshava kimaisa. If you wanted to do something good, we're precluded from doing it because of reasons beyond your control. Circumstances beyond your control, you get credit for it. That's choshvei shmo. That even those who contemplate, think about doing the ratzon Hashem, but couldn't do so, are given credit for it. How do we know that even if one person is sitting and learning Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him? Shnei emar b'chol amakom asher askir eshmi avo elecha uveirach ticha. Because the Torah, right? Because the pasuk says, any place where my name is mentioned, I will come to you and I will bless you. V'chimei acher da'afilu chad trei mi boy. So now the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. If you've just proven that even when a person davens alone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them, then what, Rabbi Osai? Why do I need to prove it by two? Right? If it occurs by one, certainly it occurs by two. So listen to how beautiful this is. Well, so just so you understand now, just before we even do this, just so you appreciate this chus of getting up as early as all of you do to come and learn Torah, you should think that it's not just about an intellectual pursuit of ingesting knowledge. You should understand the schar that you get every single day. Trei michtavan milayhu b'sefer hazichronos, chad lo michtavan milay b'sefer hazichronos. When you learn yourself, it's very nice. You get credit for it. But it's not recorded in God's book of remembrance. But when you learn with two, and Allah has come with the group, every piece of Torah, every word of Torah is written down in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Sefer HaZichronos. Amazing. And now if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there with two, then why do I need a pasuk to prove me that he's there with three? Ma'u detema bina shama ba'amo uvelo as yeshchina kamash malon dedina nami hainu Torah. So I might have thought, remember, three is the case of the judges. I might have thought that adjudication of a particular case, when Dayanim sit, that's not called Talmud Torah. What is that called? That's called preservation of peace for society. Right? They're making shalom, but that's not called Talmud Torah. Kamash Mala, no. That's when Dayanim get together to go ahead and do a Psak Din, that's called Torah also. V'chimi acher da'afilu tlasa asari mi boy. Listen to this, Rabbi. Now, you really want to see the schar that you get every morning? And now that we've proven one, we've proven two, we've proven three, why do I need a separate pasuk, a separate limud, to teach me that when 10 people learn together, that the Shekhinah is with them? Listen to how wild this is. The Gemara says, Asora kidma Shekhinah v'asya tlasa ad Yosef. So the Gemara says, listen to this. The Gemara says, when three people learn together, yes, it's very beautiful, that when they come together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and joins them. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that there's going to be a group of 10 people, or more, of course, what happens? The Shekhinah gets there before everyone else to wait for them. Astounding, astounding idea. So the Gemara is, yeah, so the Gemara is like this. Amazing, amazing schos. Every time we come, Kadosh Baruch Hu waits for us. Amar Rabbi Abin Barav Ada Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. V'nai Shekadosh Baruch Hu Maniach Tefillin. How do we know that God puts on tefillin? Obviously, the Gemara is talking metaphorically over here. Hanel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting on tefillin. Shneemar, Lishpo Hashem b'yemino, u'bizroa uzo. God swears by his right, and with zroa uzo means the arm of his strength. B'yemino, with his right, zu Torah. That refers to Torah. Shneemar, mimino, eish das lamo. U'bizroa uzo. What does it mean, zroa uzo? Elu tefillin. That refers to tefillin. Shneemar, Hashem oz li amo yitain. Because the Gemara understands that the strength that it's referring to when it says that God gives his people strength is tefillin. Uminayisha tefillin oz, same with Yisrael. How do you know that tefillin are considered to be an oz, a source of strength? Dichsiv, v'ro'u kol ame ha'aretz, ki shem Hashem nikra elecha, v'yiru mimecha. That all the nations of the world will see that the name of God is upon you and they will be fearful of you. The Gemara says that la'asid lavo, in the future, what that actually refers to is the tefillin shal rosh. V'tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Gadol Omer, elu tefillin shebarosh. That refers, because that's the tefillin that can be seen. So in the future, in Yimosa Mashiach, the Ami Arts will see our tefillin shal rosh, they'll realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upon us, and that will instill a fear in the nations of the world. Amar li Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Chiya bar Avin, hani tefillin demari oma maksiv behu. What are the parshios in the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Amar Leif, so it says like this, Mika amcho Yisrael goyachad ba'aretz. The pasuk that says, who is like your nation Yisrael, the one singular nation in this world? Now here's what's interesting. Does God actually go ahead and become praised by praising Klal Yisrael? I mean, it sounds strange that God would become exalted through praising Klal Yisrael. In Dichsiv es Hashem he'emarto hayom, v'Hashem he'emircha hayom. And the Gemara says, yes, the same way that we are uplifted by ultimately designating HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our king and extolling him, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiv'yachol is also uplifted when he goes ahead and designates us as his people. Amar lema HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'Yisrael. God says to the Jewish people, Atem asisuni chativa achas ba'olam. You have made me chativa achas. You have made me something singularly important in this world. Va'ani es eschem chativa achas bi'olam. And I will make you singularly important in this world. Atem asisuni chativa achas ba'olam. You have made me singularly important in this world. How shana emar? Shema Yisrael Hashem al-kinu Hashem echad. You have declared to all humanity that I am one. Va'ani es eschem chativa achas ba'olam. Shana emar? You told me echad, I'm going to tell you echad. Amli Rav Acha b'Rei D'Rava, Ravashi. Tinach b'chad b'isa b'shar batimai. Fine. That's in one of the batim, right? In one of the, let's say, depending on how you want to view this image of Shal Yad Shal Rosh, but that's in one of the, what's in one of the compartments. What's in the other compartments of the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Amalei, kimi goy gadol, umi goy gadol. So we have the two psukim of kimi goy gadol, who is like this nation, and who is a great nation. Both, again, the common denominator of all these psukim is that they all extol the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Ashrecha Yisrael, oh, hanisa Elokim, ulesitcha elyon. So, the Rebbe says, here's what's interesting. Right here, the Gemara just quoted five psukim, plus the one before of Mika Amcho Yisrael. So here's the problem. In total, we have six psukim that seem to be going within the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the assumption is that the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way resemble the tefillin of man. Tefillin of man have how many parshios? Right? Four. Right? And so we have to try to figure out, ultimately, what to do with this. So the Gemara says, Ihachi nefish l'tuvei. Right? Tuvei bati. If that's the case, there are too many compartments in the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elo, kimi goy gadol, umi goy gadol, didamyin lahadodi b'chad besa. So the Gemara says, what happens is over here is we double up on some of the psukim because they could go in the same bias because they're similar. So mi goy gadol, kimi goy gadol, umi goy gadol go into one section. And ashrecha Yisrael, mika'amcha Yisrael, b'chad besa. Oh, and therefore you're putting four psukim within two compartments. Therefore, oh hanisa lukim b'chad besa, ulesitcha el yon b'chad besa. The kulhu ksivi badroi, and all of these, and this tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're talking about is talking about the tefillin of the shal yad. because ultimately the pasuk that the Gemara is operating with is this Zeroa Uzo, represents the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I will say, you have to understand, so the Maharsha comments, just a quick word on this, the Maharsha comments on this Gemara, and he says, you have to understand, what's the deeper metaphor? So the Maharsha comments, we'll see this later on, that what's the essence of Tefillin? Tefillin represents a binding of ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We put on the Tefillin Shalyad, and the Tefillin Shalyad does two things. Number one, it sublimates our koach, right? Our yad represents our creative abilities. So we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my creative abilities, my kochi, yadi, is yours. It rests against the leiv, which is the seat of emotion, and says, my emotions are yours. It sits on top of the moach, it sits on top of the head, which represents, again, the center of intellectual activity, to say, my intellect is yours. So it sublimates every aspect of man's existence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, my creative energy, my yad, is yours. My heart, my emotion, is yours. My moach, my intellect, is yours. So what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on tefillin? That the same way that Klal Yisrael declares that we are singularly devoted to you in every aspect of our being, our entire gestalt, is yours. So Sotu HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and I want you to know, I'm reciprocating. I am yours. I am yours. Yes, I'm the God of all humanity. And I look out for the entire world, but just know that I am singularly committed to Klal Yisrael. That's the metaphor here. Weiter. Amar Rabbi, Bar Rav, Amar Rav Ada. So,
I would assume that they're all talking in analogy.
100%. Amar Rabbi, Bar Rav, Amar Rav Ada, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay. Kala Ragi Lavala Vesak Neses. Anyone who goes ahead and normally comes to shul, Velo ba yom echad, it doesn't show up one day. Listen to this, Rav Osai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashil bo. You think it's bad to get an email from the rabbi, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come looking for you. Now the interesting part over here is, remember, you're only missed if what? If you're ragil, right? If you're not ragil, if you're just if you're just friends with God, if it's platonic, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't inquire all that much if you're not here. But if you're ragil, if you're in a relationship and you don't show up, just know HaKadosh Baruch Hu will miss you. This beautiful HaKadosh Baruch Hu will miss you. Shene emar mi bochem yirei Hashem shomea bekol avdo asher halach hashachim ve'ein noga lo. So here's what's interesting. It's according to pasuk from Yeshaya, and what he's dashing over here is that asher halach hashachim ve'ein noga lo. He has gone into darkness and he has no light. Meaning the assumption is that coming to shul is light, and where is he? He's walking around in darkness. Where did he go that he didn't show up to the light? So the Gemara says, im ledvar mitzvah halach nagalo. Now, if it's a dvar mitzvah, that's why he didn't show up. Okay, then at least he still have light. Im ledvar reshus halach ein nagalo. But if you went for a dvar reshus, whatever it is, you have to go to work early, you have to do something else, not a dvar mitzvah, then ultimately the person's walking in darkness. Yiftach b'shem Hashem mai taimo mishum dahavei liftach b'shem Hashem v'lo batach. So profound. So the pasuk ends off by saying, Yiftach b'shem Hashem. You should trust in the word of God. What does it mean, Rabbi Osai? That if a person misses coming to shul, or a person misses, well, we'll use the example of coming to shul over here, because they had to do business. So the truth is, just understand that you're standing up God. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for you and you didn't show up. So such a person, just understand, should have a little bit more bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to know that by coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and having that rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to compromise your other life interests. So it goes on.
It's better to come to shul even if you miss the minyan to daven and shul.
Well, that actually we'll see. That's a mefurish sugya in the fourth parak. So that we'll discuss. There is a hierarchy. There are some circumstances where you just can't daven with a minyan. So we will see that. And there are options A, B, C, and D for that. And davening in shul, even biyachidus, is one of them. We'll see that. Amar Rav Yochanan, b'shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba beis haKnesses v'lo matza ba'asara miyad hu koeis. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to shul and he doesn't find 10 people, he gets very upset. He gets very, really, she gets angry. Shnei emar, madua basi, why have I come, ve'ein ish karasi ve'ein oneh? And I have come, I call out, and there is no one answering. That's what I'll say, you know, that the Gemara talks about the idea in Meseches Megillah, that ezohi ir gedola, what is considered to be a large city, kol seyeish ba'asara baklonin, that in Talmudic times, they had this notion of having always 10 people in the shul. Yet Lav Dafka was a kolel, right? It was their job that there should always be a constant presence within the Beis HaKnesses. That was their job. Amar Rav Chalban Rav Huna, kol hakavoya makom letfila. So anyone who establishes a place for his tefillah, makom kavua, elokei Avram be'ezro. the Lord of Avraham, will be his aid. Ukishames, and when he dies, Omrim lo, Eonov Echosid, Mitamidov Shal Avram Avinu. And when he dies, he is eulogized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where is the humble one? Where is the pious one? He was a student of Avraham Avinu. Now you have to understand why Avraham over here. So we'll see in just a moment that Avraham Avinu was the first one who teaches us about the concept of Kviyas Makom L'Tfilah, about having an established place for davening, Makom Kavua. For Avraham Avinu minon dekava makom. How do we know that Avraham Avinu had a Makom Kavua for davening? Dechsev Vayashkim Avraham Baboker Ela Makom Asher Amad Shon. Because the Torah says Avraham Avinu got up in the morning to the place in which he stood. The idea being that he's going to the same place to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, said this is one of the primary sources for the concept of Makom Kavua, of having a set place where you daven, which across the most basic level is a very important tool for Kavana. Because if one's searching out what they're going to see in a new place, every day you're in a new place and you're checking out your surroundings, it erodes one's Kavana. If you have a Makom Kavua, could better concentrate on the tefillah. And the word amida, as we know, means tefillah, because the pasuk says vayamo pinchas vayipalel. Good. Amar bichalva, amar afuna. Hayotzi beis haknesses. If one leaves shul, or when one leaves shul, al yafsia psiagasa. He should not leave with large steps. Right. In other words, don't run out of shul. What's the idea? Because if you run out of shul, Rashi points out, it looks like you're hurrying out, and if you're hurrying away from something, it means you don't really want to be there. Amar Abaye, lo aman el lemefak. Abaye says that's only when leaving the shul. Aval lemeo, but if you're going to shul, mitzvah lemerat. It's certainly it's a mitzvah to run to shul. Shine emar mirdefa ladas es Hashem. I will say when you want to come to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you want to come for your relationship, running with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't stroll, you run. So it's interesting. Rabbi Zera writes in the beginning, when I used to see the Talmidei Chachamim, the rabbinical students, running to the Shira on Shabbos, I thought that they were being Mechal Shabbos. Right? Why? Look at Rashi says the Amar Mar Asur Lifsop Siagasa Shabbos Nemar and Toshir Shabbos Mishabbos Raglecha. The idea is on Shabbos, even the way that you walk is supposed to be different. So you're not supposed to run on Shabbos because running is a weekday activity. So Rabbi Zera says that when I first saw the Talmidei Chachamim running to shul, running to the shir, I thought they were mechal Shabbos. Kevan d'shamara l'ha d'ha Rabbi Tanchum or Rabbi Yishob ben Levi. But once I heard the ruling of Rabbi Tanchum and Rabbi Yishob ben Levi, who said the olam yarutz adam l'dvar halacha v'afilu b'shabsa, that a person should always run to learn, even on Shabbos. Shene emar acharei Hashem yelichu ka'arye yishag. After God, you shall walk like a lion roars. Ana Nami Rahitna. Listen to how beautiful this is. Rabbi Zera says, I started running also. Right, so I thought there would be Mechal Shabbos until I heard this teaching, and then I decided to run as well. Amar Rabbi Zera. Igra de Pirka Riyata. The reward for going to the shir is running. Right? Now, what does that mean? The major schar you get for going to the shir is how quickly you get there, amazingly enough. Not necessarily the Talmud Torah you learn there, because ultimately it demonstrates the importance that this activity has for an individual. Amar Abaye, Igra de Kala Duchka. The reward of being at the Kala, which we spoke about before, was the gathering for Torah learning. Duchka is the fact that everybody is crowded together. The idea that you're willing to squeeze for the sake of Talmud Torah. Amar Rava, Igra de Shmaita Svara. The reward of learning is svara. Meaning the idea of learning, of getting information, is that you're able to use that information to create complex intellectual ideas. Amar Rav Papa, Igra de Beit Hamya Shtikusa. So Rav Papa says, the reward of a Beit Hamya. Now here's what's interesting as well. Beit Hamya, we could either translate as a Beis Ovel, a house of mourning, or Beit Hamya could actually be a home in which a dead body could be found. Either way, the point is, you're dealing with death. That how's the best way to deal with death? What's the, so to speak, the reward? What's the best way to deal with death? Shtikusa, quiet. Amar Marzutra, Igra de Ta'anisa Tzidkasa. Tzidkasa. So Marzutra said, the most important aspect of a tainis of a fast day is giving tzedakah. Amar Rav Sheshes, Igra de Hespeda Diluye. So Rav Sheshes says, they're using the word reward, Rabbos. So what they really mean is the most important aspect. The most important aspect of a hesped is what? Is that you cause other people to cry. That's the point of a hesped. You're ma'orer bechi. You awaken feelings of sadness within those who are listening. Amar Rav Ashi, Igra de Behilule Mile. And Rav Ashi says, that the reward of a behi lule. Behi lule means a wedding over here. Rashi says, mile, l'sameach chasan bidvarim. So the best thing you can do at a wedding is to say things to the chasan and kala that will amplify their simcha. Amar Rafuna, kol mispanla achori besakneses, nikra rasha. So Rafuna said, anyone who davids in the back of the shul is called a rasha. Shne emar, soviv rishoim yishaleichun. Because the pasuk says, and here he's quoting the pasuk from Tehillim. Now, the way the Gemara is understanding this particular pasuk is that the Rishayim walk on the periphery, right? So they're always in the back. Only the Rishayim stand in the back. Amar Abaye lo Amran ela de lo Mahadra ape lebe Knishta. This is only talking about Mahadra ape lebe Knishta less lanba. This is only talking about what, where they sit in the back and are facing away from the shul. So it's literally like sitting in the back and facing, I guess, like the exit of the shul. But if you're sitting in the back and you're facing towards the front of the shul, that's not so bad. Although we will see later on that there is a concept of dafka, not davening right by the exit, of making sure that a person is a couple of amos in. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that, right? We'll get to that. Tahu gavra dekamatz le'achuri be'knishta v'lo mahadra pe'le be'knishta. There was a particular man who was davening in the back of the shul, and he did not turn his face to the front of the shul. Chalaf Elio. Elio had to be passed by. Chazye, and he saw this man. Idmi le'kitaya. And Elio assumed the form of a taya. Taya means an Arab merchant. Amar le, kadu bar kayant kami marach. Do you have two masters? Meaning that what he was saying to this man is, it looks like you're serving two gods. Here you are, you're standing in shul, but you're facing in a different direction. So what's going on? If you take a quick look at Rashi, he says, kadu bar, kadu shtei barushus, ki haida amina besuk. Okay, so are you serving two masters? Shalof safsira vikatle. Elio and Avi took out a sword and killed the man. A good argument for not davening in the back of the shul. So there was one of the rabbanos at Rabbi Bar Abaye, but Amrle Rabbi Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my krum zulos livnei adam. What is the meaning of the pasuk of krum zulus livnei adam? Also from Tehillim. So Amrle elu dvarim shaomdim berumo shal olam ubnei adam mezalzelin bahem. This refers to things that are exceptionally important, literally, that stand in the center of the world, but people are mezalzel, people don't pay all that much attention to it. So what's a good example of that, says Rashi? Dvarim sha'omdim berumo sha'olam, kigon tfila sha'ola lemala. Like Rashi says, what's an example of something that really is at the center of our world, but people just don't take it seriously? Davening. Tfila. He says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, the Armi Tarvayu, Kevan Shinitzadeh, that's the first drasha. Kirum Zulas, that there are things that stand in Rumo Shal Olam, in the center of the universe, and Zol, and people cheapen it, people don't take it seriously. What's an example of that, says Rashi? Tfila, so that's one drasha of the Pasuk. Next drasha of the Pasuk, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, the Armi Tarvayu, listen to this, Kevan Shinitzarech Adam Labrios. You know what it refers to? When a person has to rely on others. When a person has to rely on others, panav mishtanos kikrum. His face turns the color of a krum. Shene emar, krum zulas zulas libnei adam. My krum, so what's a krum? Ki asar avdimi amar, of echad yesh bekrach yayam. There is this bird in the islands of the sea, ukrum shemo, and it's called the krum bird. V'chevan shechama zorachas, and when the sun shines on this bird, mishapech lakam gavnin, the bird turns many different colors. Rabbi Ami, so what does that mean? Krum zulas. That when a person has to rely on others, they feel zol. They feel compromised. They feel like less of a person in their own eyes. Krum, and the embarrassment or humiliation of having to rely on others causes a person's face to change many different shades of colors. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Damri Tarvayhu, ki ilu nidon b'shnei dinim. It's when a person has to rely on others, it's as if he's being judged in two ways. Ish umayim, with water and fire. Shene emar, herkavta enosh l'rashenu banu ba'ish ubamayim. That literally when a person has to go ahead and and rely on others, it's as if he's being executed in two ways, one through drowning and one through fire, such as the humiliation of a person who has to rely on others. So I just want to point out something amazing. So here, just as an aside, because we only have a couple more minutes to finish the daf, but if you think about it, here you have these two words, krimzulus, and amazingly enough, how it yields, it's the beauty of Torah, how it yields two dramatically different lessons. Either it refers to the things that are omdim berumo shel olam, things that are so important, but yet people cheapen it, zulas like tefillah, or the first, the fact to be sensitive to the person who you have to help. Because even though we're helping another individual, just understand that, that for that person, having to receive the help is a very, very, very difficult matzav. Zulas, sometimes he feels like less of a person. Krum, just look, his face may turn colors because it's exceptionally difficult. But the greatness of Torah is that having the same two words, you can learn such dramatically different lessons. So the Gemara goes on. A person should be careful with mincha. Shahari Eliyolo na'ana ela b'tfilas mincha, because Eliyahu HaNavi was only answered during tfilas mincha. What is that referring to? Shneimar va'hi ba'alos mincha va'yagish Eliyahu HaNavi va'yomer aneini Hashem aneini. So the Gemara says like this. This is referring to the episode where Eliyahu HaNavi challenged the Nevi Habal to a religious showdown, who was going to be able to bring down a fire from the heavens first. And Eliyahu HaNavi was answered by God, and a fire came down from the heavens at mincha time. So the Gemara says, you see from here that mincha time is a time that is especially important for supplication. Aneini sheteireid mina esh mina shamayim. Eliyahu HaNavi davened, God, answer me that a fire should descend from the heavens. Va'aneini shelo yomru ma'asei kshachim heim. And also answer me that the people should not think that it's some kind of sorcery that I'm performing, that when I bring down the fire, they should realize that the fire is coming down. Why? Because of you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Atchilas Arvis. Rabbi Yochanan says you should be careful with Ma'ariv as well. Shnei Amar Tikon Tefilah Si Kitoras Lifa Necha Maaseis. So over here, what the Gemara does over here is it juxtaposes the Ketores to Tefillah. So Ketores was also offered in the afternoon. So the Tefillah that comes right on the heels of the Ketores is also important, i.e. Ma'arif. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Af Tefillah Shachris. You should be careful with Shachris. Shneimar Hashem Boker Tishma. So over here, the Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem Boker Tishma, Koli Boker Erach Lecha, Va'at Sapeh. So what's the bottom line is, be careful with all of your davening. Right? Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv, they're all important, all must be cared for, and daven appropriately. Couple of more lines. Amar Bicham, Amar Rav Huna, Kolaner Nemishudas Chasam, Ve'enu Mesamcho, Over Bechamisha Kolos. Anyone who goes ahead and derives benefit from a wedding meal, and does not in some way contribute to the simcha of the chasen and the kala, violates five kolos. Shnei emar, kol sason, the kol simcha, kol chasan, the kol kala, kol omrim holu es Hashem tzvakos. So the idea is, obviously the psukim going out of their way to highlight this idea that there's incredible simcha in a chasana, and if you don't do your part in amplifying that simcha, you violate, so to speak, not a real violation, but you violate these five kolos. And if you in fact gladden, if you amplify the simcha of a chasen kala, what is your reward? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, zoche letorah shenitna bechamisha kolos. You will receive Torah that was given with through five different kolos. Shnei emar vahi bayom hashlishi biyos haboker vahi kolos uvrokim avanon kavit alahar v'kol shofar. So there are five kolos, there are five sounds, right, by Torah as well. So if you go ahead and you gladden the heart of the chasen and kala, which has five kolos, you'll receive the five kolos, which means you will receive the greatness of Torah. Ini, so the Gemara says only five kolos by Torah. V'hoksiv v'chola amro imas hakolos. But there's another kol by Torah, so there are really six kolos by Torah, that the people saw the kolos. Osan kolos the koda matan Torah habu. None of those particular kolos were kolos before matan Torah. Rabbi Avohu Omer kilu hikrif toda. Rabbi Avohu says that if you go ahead and you gladden the heart of the chasen and kala, it's as if you bring a karban toda shne emar, mevi'im toda beis Hashem. Rav Nachman Omer kilu bana achas mechurvos Yerushalayim. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says that if you contribute to simchas chasen the kala in some way, it's as if you have built up one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. Shne emar ki oshiv as Shavusa Aretz Kibarushuna Amar Hashem. The Marshal comments on this. The metaphor there is so powerful, because when there's a marriage that's created, there is a new bias that is created. Right? If you go ahead and you instill greater sense of simcha in that new bias that is being built, it is as if you have built up some of the ruins of Klal Yisrael. I will say, I'll stop over here. We'll pick up right here tomorrow. Yemir Tzashem.